Welcome to the Riot Podcast, where we have practical discussions on how to share your faith, see the news from God's eyes, and answer some of faith's hardest questions.
Thanks for listening to Riot Podcast, Righteous Invasion of Truth. This is your host, Pete Robertson, with...
Good morning, Pete. This is Bob Schoeneman.
Hey, Bob.
And Barry Rice. So glad to have you guys here today.
Hey, Barry. So how did this last week go? Thanksgiving and getting to celebrate with family. And for us, we were, you know, disobeying the government's orders in Portland, Oregon. And I don't know, maybe we could talk about it. But what, anything happened that this last week that was fun?
I took my family to visit family as well. We did a little traveling, went up to the mountains of North Carolina.
Fun.
We saw elk and buffalo up in the mountains, and I thought we had to go to Wyoming or Colorado to have that experience.
But wild buffalo?
The elk were wild.
Yeah.
In full disclosure, the buffalo was on a ranch, and there were cows on there too, so it was just a farmer probably raising his own buffalo ribeyes, which, by the way, are amazing. My favorite kind of ribeye. But
you always make me hungry when we do these podcasts.
Wait, you're not fasting today, are you, Barry?
And
I'm bringing up food?
Yes.
Wait, last
I
week.
I am so sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah, and last week you brought up turkey tacos.
It's my fault.
Yeah.
It's my fault.
And
anyway, back to
taco.
My trip, Pete.
Okay.
excuse me. Man, I got to do something that I never got to do before last week. My brother my brother-in-law is a pilot, and he just got his own plane, and he took me up in the plane a couple times, and the second time we went up, he actually let me fly it for a little while. So he's a brave soul, and we landed safely. I didn't land the plane. I have no interest in doing that, but not without a lot more training. But it was really cool. I got to fly it, and he got permission. He called into the tower at Charlotte and got permission to circle the city. And they let us circle the city twice. And that was really cool. Got some cool photos of that. And
was it during the day or at night?
Yeah, it was during the day. Maybe that's the next trip. Maybe we make a night flight the next trip. But
boy, that would be beautiful.
That was really cool. As a kid, I always wanted to be a pilot. And in fact, the reason I went into the Air Force was because of how much I just love airplanes. So to me, that was like a bucket list thing. I got to fly a plane. So really cool. I can't wait to do it again. Rob, if you're listening, thank you for taking me up in your airplane. It is really, really awesome.
I had a friend named Yannick, and I got to do that one time. And so we took it off from Orange County Airport in Orange County, California. And we took it up over the ocean. And so we're sitting there over the ocean. He let me take the joysticks, and then he let me, you know, play with it a little bit. And it was, I think, like a Cessna something. I forget what it was. But as we were flying through it, it was amazing. And then he like turned off the engine accidentally, or not accidentally on purpose, just to scare me. And we were literally just, and it was a freaky experience. And he was like, "Oh my gosh, I don't know what to do." And I literally thought I was gonna die. And then he turns it back on, and we go. And so, okay, we're at the end of it, and we're done, and we're coming back in towards the, you know, I have my earphones on or whatever. I mean, yeah, and I'm listening to the tower. When the tower says, "Brake hard right, all right, right." And then so he's taking braking hard right, and he's like, "Take further, more, more, more." And I'm like, "What in the world's going on?" And the guy has desperation in his voice telling us to do it really, really quick. And so Yannick is just going as fast as he can to brake. He goes, "Turn it, keep turning, keep turning, keep turning, keep turning." And as we come back around and we look, there's a big old huge, he was coming right into one of the planes landing, a big old, you know, like Southwest airliner coming in. And apparently he was running into that lane. And I had no idea. And so finally we come back down, I'm shaking, going crazy, you know, and we land. And as we come through, we end up, because we don't have to use as much of the runway, we end up going in front of that airline. And the guy starts talking to us. The pilot starts talking to us as he's coming up. And he's saying, you know, "This guy's in the front of us, and we need to wait for him to move." And so he's trying to get off the runway, get in front of him as fast as possible. So that was my experience with my going up in the thing. So it's kind of crazy. I just thought of it just now when you said that.
That's insane. Have you been back in a small plane
since? No, I have not.
I don't blame you.
That was a little hairy. Barry, what'd you do over there?
Yeah, we had a great Thanksgiving. My daughter and son-in-law came down, and they led us on that they weren't going to be able to come. So last minute, they told us, "Hey, we're going to be there in 7 hours. Oh, everybody got so excited.
Yeah, cool.
And we got to really spend almost all the week with them. And I just love my son-in-law, love my daughter. And they introduced me to something that I have never had in my life. I mean, I grew up on a farm and, you know, I'm a country boy. You guys know that. But they introduced me to this new product called goat cheese.
Oh.
And it was magnificently wrapped in cranberries.
Oh.
And they had one that was wrapped in blueberries. And so spreading that on crackers, I ate way too much of it. It was great, though.
How much did you eat of it?
You know, I could probably say that I knocked out a roll a day. You know, I hate to admit that, but
I heard that causes constipation. Did that happen with you?
Hey, your wife told me not to say anything about that. So I don't know because I haven't gone. So, but anyway. Oh, man. Potty talk.
Keep it clean, guys. Keep it clean.
That is clean.
But one of the funniest things, getting away from that talk, one of the funniest things that happened to us is that, you know, we're in a situation that we deal with bears every day in our yard. And I've never been in there. I never thought in a million years in all of Florida and Orlando that I would deal with bears. But I think it was actually on Thanksgiving Day that the bear sat on top of the fence and watching us eat.
Way cool.
I mean, he was sitting up. He was just looking around. But he was on top of a wooden fence, climbed the tree up and sat down on top of the fence, and kind of just had his arms crossed and saying, "Hey, you wait till you get that in the trash can, buddy." Man, it was just so funny, so incredible. It was neat to see.
How strong are your wood fences that they can hold bears?
Right, right. This was a toddler, but we have three bears, and this is the toddler, but it was really cool to see.
We were in Oregon and in Coos Bay, and so when we got there, right when we were pulling into our son's driveway, there's about 10 deer that are just everywhere. And so I was like, oh, this is so nice, you know, and we were just thinking that was going to be fun. But when the next day we saw these big old bucks, you know, that were coming out. And so it was kind of neat. And then my daughter-in-law, she comes out with a bunch of apples and she's sitting there feeding them these apples. I don't know if that's a good thing. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know about the bucks feeding them out of your hand, but deer love apples. And speaking of deer, if there's anyone out there that ever listens to this podcast, there is very small deer in Florida. And I've been really getting the itch to go hunting and kill some deer and bring it back home to get some venison in the freezer. So if you're out there, hey, email me and let me know.
That would be fun. And then one of the things that my son does, or his friends and everybody else, they do elk hunting. So there's a lot of elk in Oregon, and there, I guess there's moose too up in the north east part of Oregon. I just found that out. There's maybe like 50 of them or something like that. But we did elk, and so one of the friends brought over a whole bunch of elk, and so we were just snacking on elk, you know, while we were there. It was really good because they made them like they did packaging where they made them like sausages or something, so you can cut them up and put them on crackers, and so we just had an elk sausage and stuff. So it was a lot of fun. But having a lot of deer around every single day was kind of neat. And I found out because she keeps feeding them to whatever. Oh yeah, and there's some turkeys there. There was these turkeys that were just like, they were literally 30 pounds. I mean, I would think they were so big. And so they were turkeys. You wouldn't even think in Oregon on the Coos Bay by the water, there's going to be turkeys there. But that was fun.
Were they butterballs?
They had to have been because, you know, they have to be. All of them are butterballs. I mean,
see what you started, Bob? Talking about food again.
Well, now you're talking
about... What are we going to talk about today, guys? Come on.
Butterballs?
Man, good turkey? You're talking about hunting. I've never been hunting. Maybe you should, you know,
I have
take
not yet
me
either.
Out. But you know, my father-in-law goes every day during deer season. Barry, you should I should hook you guys up, and that gives you an excuse to go back to Virginia for a weekend or something.
Absolutely.
But overall, we had a good Thanksgiving. I got to hang out with all my family, and my mom and dad came up to Oregon. My aunt and uncles came up, and we got to hang out with my son-in-law, my daughter-in-law's family. So her dad and grandma and aunt came down, and we played games. We played the Mafia game. That was fun. My dad's hilarious because...
Whoa. You can't just drop that and move on. What is the Mafia game?
So you sit around and my son acts like in this different voice. And it's hard to explain, but you all get a card. There's a Mafia person. There's a We'll have to play it sometime. Anybody that's out there that's played Mafia, you know what I'm saying. But it was a lot of fun. So you act out. You become a character.
Don't you kill people?
Yeah, kind of. My nickname was Big Slick Willie. And so, that was my name, Big Slick Willie, and I was in charge of the largest bank in the world, and so that's it. And I was a part of the mafia, so I got to play that role in that character. And so my family, my dad was a part of it. My whole family.
Did
was a
you
part
change
of this.
The way you talked?
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, let us hear that, please.
Oh yeah, we were into character for sure. I don't know how to do it. I was a Big Slick Willie. I don't know. I mean, I was just something funny. You know, it was, we laughed a lot, so it was fun. We had a great time.
Sounds like a really fun super spreader event that you had up there in Oregon.
Yeah. Speaking of super spreader, I mean, the Oregon, Katie Brown, Oregon Governor Katie Brown, she came in and gave us order that said you can't have more than 6 people in the home. And so we had double or almost triple that in our home. And then she said that you have to wear your mask inside. And it was just a weird, really weird thing. And then she put out the day before on a hotline this number, and she says, all you neighbors hold each other accountable and call in this hotline if you see somebody meeting more than 6 people on Thanksgiving. And so they did that. And then she said, if you are meeting, then you have to get tested for COVID and all that. And they were just making this really big deal. So all of us went outside and took a picture and said hi to all of our neighbors as we were there. And one of us emailed it to Governor Brown just to say, hey, how you doing? You know, I think that had a funny thing, but we did do that. So there's truth in that.
So you didn't get arrested. You're good.
No.
And everybody's feeling well. Nobody's sick.
No. Jeez, come on, guys. I mean, I agree with being washing hands, and I agree with social distancing, and I agree with being mindful of that. I mean, let's be honest and be serious, but I mean, we're not going to be paranoid, and we're not going to be overly crazy. I mean, we trust in the Lord. God protects us. And so, I don't know, you guys probably have thoughts on that, right?
Yeah, my in-laws, I think, said it best. There was some concern going in, and, you know, my sister-in-law reached out to them, just wanted to know how they felt about it. And they're in their 70s, and they're just like, you know, no chance we're going to miss out time with our grandchildren. You know, life's too short already. And we're not going to let, you know, not going to let a virus scare us out of not spending time with our grandchildren. So
right.
Great perspective.
Yeah, really good. All right, Bob, do you have a joke for us?
Yeah, you want to move it? It is December.
Yeah.
Already? That's crazy to me. I can't believe it.
It's my favorite month, I'm going to
tell you. It's just weird because in times this year seems like it's just flown by. And then other times you're like, is it still 2020? But yeah, let's have some fun. So guys.
Yeah.
Why was Santa's little helper depressed?
I don't know why.
Because he had very low elf esteem.
Oh.
Okay. Hey, I didn't say there were going to be good jokes. All right. I got at least one more for you.
My elf esteem is suffering.
Your elf esteem is suffering. What does the Grinch do with a baseball bat?
What does the Grinch do with a baseball bat? I don't know. What's he do?
He hits a gnome and runs.
That makes sense.
You know, some of these are a little deeper. You know, you'll get it on your, you know, maybe later this afternoon.
Wow.
Okay, last one. Give me one more. All right. What do you call a broke Santa Claus?
What do you call a broke Santa Claus?
Saint Nicholas.
That's a good one. That was
all right,
the best one.
We got one. One for three. So I'm batting .333. That's not bad.
That's right.
That was funny. All right. Well, with that said, let's just move right into this week's pressure point. So we're going to talk about contentment. So in light of the Christmas season, we want to explore what it means to be content. You know, in America, we've been bombarded and pressured to buy the latest and the greatest things. Marketing now is better than ever, where we can know what someone likes based upon their search history. So these companies are capturing our information without us even knowing about it. So they know how to make things appear better than they are, and they know how to get us to buy by appealing to our happiness. So just this week, I got 7 catalogs. I made sure I counted it in the mail. I got 7. And all of them having deals while offering easy ways to buy. I can safely say that my wife and I were tempted, and we started justifying in our minds that we would like to buy stuff. But one said that we didn't have to pay until about April of next year. That was enticing. So we were just thinking, that's free money. We don't have to pay it till April next year. And the next one said, oh, if you buy it today, you can spend like $800 or something and only have to pay $20 a month for the next year. I don't know, something crazy. But the temptation was there for sure. But let's face it, we are all tempted to want the new and the better things. And we're all tempted to, at times, want to buy more, and we can justify it. But we are also experts at justifying what we think we need or what we think we need more. So we might make ourselves believe if we buy such and such thing that it'll make us feel happy, or it might make us, we might be able to say that we deserve it because we've worked hard, or you know, things have been tough. One of the pushes this year that I've been seeing is that, hey, 2020 has been horrible, which I don't personally think 2020 has been horrible for me. I haven't taken it that way. I've just adjusted. But a lot of people are saying, because 2020 has been so horrible, you know, it's the best way to help that depression that you're going through is to buy something, right? Or, you know, this is what you've always needed, and it's been a rough year, so buy this and it should help you. So it's definitely, contentment is definitely a struggle, and it's definitely something that I would say we all deal with. So with that said, gentlemen, if we as Christians are not careful, how can getting caught up into this affect our relationship with God? I think that's really the question we need to ask. If we're not, I guess, seeking God, or we're not in a position of really listening to what God's telling us as far as our money and how to purchase or what to buy things, how could having a lack of contentment, or having getting caught up into this Christmas season or to buy more kind of mentality affect our relationship? Any thoughts?
Yeah, I think it easily can become a distraction. You know, and I don't think it's not so much the stuff itself. It's that we're putting our attention on something other than God. So it can become an idol, or can become a distraction for, you know, our real purpose. And this is like the perfect time to, you know, we're just being bombarded with advertising, and now that the elections are over, they got space for all these car ads and all this stuff. And you know, I know you were thinking about getting a new Porsche, Pete. So, you know, as you just tempted with these, you know, these shiny, sparkly objects that are just dangled in front of you like fishing lures.
You saying I shouldn't get a new Porsche?
Well, you know, that's not. I mean, you gonna let me drive it? No, that's
yes.
Not the point. That's not the point. The point is the distraction from what you should really be focused on. Barry, what do you think about that? I'm going to pass that on before I get myself in way too much trouble.
Well, it seemed like to me, let me bring this up. It seemed like to me that Black Friday was like a week and a half.
Right.
Like every day was Black Friday before Thanksgiving and after Thanksgiving. And it seems like it's still Black Friday deals going on. But,
right.
You know, I was amazed how much people are still waiting in line on Black Friday for just one item. I mean, for hours. And I love watching the videos, and I probably shouldn't like it, but of people being aggressive in the store lines when someone took something that they want, or they're trying to rush to get the deal. And all this demonstrates an attitude that I think this deal, this thing is gonna make me happy. And I think that really offends God. And if it offends God, it hurts our relationship. You were asking the question, Pete, how does it affect our relationship when we're not with God, when we're not content? And I really see it as this one thing that we believe a lie, that things in this world, we're going to find happiness. What do y'all think?
Well, I was just thinking, there was a quote that Nick Vujicic said, and if you guys know who he is, he's a guy that didn't have any legs or arms, and he's just a really great speaker and a guy that just loves the Lord. But he says, you'll find contentment when your talents and passion are completely engaged in full force. Recognize instant self-gratification for what it is. Resist the temptation to grab for material objects like the perfect house, the coolest clothes, or the hottest cars. The "if I just had X, I would be happy" syndrome is a mass delusion. When you look for happiness in mere objects, they never are enough. Look around, look within. And I think that Nick Vujicic was, was just really pressing in on, if we want to find true happiness, we're really going to find that only when we have peace from within. And the only way that we're going to have peace from within is if we really press in to Jesus, because he's the only one that can actually fulfill that. And anybody that has searched for peace or contentment or tried to find some sort of rest, they realize that everything that they try to put that in other than Jesus, it just becomes, it found wanting. You don't find true rest. You don't find true peace. You don't find your hope or your purpose really in anything for long lasting other than Jesus. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is always, always there. He'll never leave us or never forsake us. He's constant. He's the one thing that we know for certain that can actually give us total peace. It says in Romans 8:28, it says, we know that all things work for good for those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. And there's that is talking about the good that comes from trusting that the Lord has our back, that he's going to take care of us, that he's going to provide for us. And I think that Satan is constantly trying to deceive us and say, no, you know, you need to work harder. You need to do this to buy certain things. You need to put yourself in a position so that you're successful and that you can achieve success. And you're always wanting to more, where Jesus is saying, I want you to rest more in me. I want you to trust more in me. I want you to be still in my presence. I want you to know that I will never leave you, forsake you, that I will provide for you, that I will take care of all of your needs. And so that's kind of my thoughts. Your guys' thoughts?
Well, I like how Paul kind of shared it in Philippians, and I'm going to read Philippians 4:11-13 to you, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
It just says, or Paul says through the Holy Spirit, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Yeah, and just knowing that Paul wrote that when he was in prison. He wrote that when he was hurting and battered and abused. And I think that says something about how we find contentment. I think it's in pain. I think a lot of times that when we're in a lot of pain and we get to the end of our rope, so to speak, and we get to that point where we're just saying, you know what, God, I'm done with trying to figure this out. I'm done with this. I need help, God. I need peace. I need help. So sometimes in pain. Thoughts on that, Barry?
Yeah, if you ever had a child, you know that child was not born with contentment, because they keep you up all night crying and wanting to have food and wanting to have candy. I mean, kids stealing, putting candy in their pocket, hiding candy, mine, that struggle amongst kids. What I really appreciate in this passage here in Philippians 4 is that Paul tells us that contentment is something we learn. And now we got to be reminded, like you said, Pete, that Paul was in prison, but before he came to Christ, he was probably wealthy. I mean, he had a Roman citizenship. It cost a lot of money to get that. He had a business. He was a tent maker. And he was a Pharisee, right? He was training by the best. He was getting the best education. So don't think this is a guy that's never had anything saying, I've learned how to be content. He was wealthy. He has been through it. And he lost it all. Because when he turned to Christ, he lost it all. And I mean, all of his prestige, all of his PhDs, and he kind of went against the people that he was closest to, because he had a real encounter with Jesus Christ. And he's telling these people, even in prison, no matter what you have, your contentment does not have to be tied to your circumstances.
Ooh, that's good. I was looking at 1 Timothy 6:6-12. And again, I think Paul really was in tune with this contentment, because he wrote to Timothy there. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people are eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made good your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So again, I mean, this is Paul that's telling Timothy, is that when you're seeking after the things of the world, when you're seeking after the material wealth to find happiness and peace, it's going to lead to destruction. It's going to lead into a trap that Satan will take from you. And the ultimate results of that is depression, is bitterness, is anger, is malice, is an edge about you that's not of God. But when you have contentment and you live a simple life and you live a peaceful life, then you will find the presence of God. You will find the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. You will find the fruit of the Spirit in contentment. And so I guess that brings us to, because there's going to be a lot of people that are so asking the question, well, how much is enough for one? And how do I know if I should? So are we saying that we shouldn't buy anything? Are we saying that we shouldn't get a nice Porsche? Are you saying that we shouldn't get that? So I think that's the next question that we should explore that people are going to ask. So what does it mean in contentment? How do we buy that stuff? How do we get a new house? How do we, you know, buy things for our kids? What does that look like? Any thoughts? I know that's a harder question, but what's your thoughts on that?
Well, I was reading something yesterday or this morning about, because I struggle with this with my daughter. I want to be able to pass on and model this contentment to her, that, you know, and I don't want her, because Christmas so much, it's so easy to get caught up in the commercialization and the, you know, what do I want and all this stuff. In fact, my daughter comes to me, she's like, you know, what do you want for Christmas? And I'm like, I honestly couldn't answer it. And she was, you know, she was looking at, you know, making her list and checking it twice, that type of deal. And so I was reading this, and it's called The Rule of Four, that I thought was really clever and kind of a good way to approach it. And I think I'm going to do this with my daughter as well. But it says, give them one thing. So they get four things. They can pick one thing that they want, one thing that they need, one thing that they wear, and one thing that they read. Now, it rhymes too, which makes it, that's a bonus. But so I just thought that was really cool. And then in that, kind of manage expectations, not maybe set expectations. And then pick experiences over toys as you're looking at things for your kids. And then the third thing that I thought was just a really good tip was to help get them involved in charity events. Get them involved in focusing on others. And I know I was talking to Barry earlier about this, and one of the things he does with his kids I thought was just a really good idea. I mean, I only have one kid, so I can't really do this, but Barry, you want to share a little bit about what your family does as far as focusing, getting the focus off themselves and not on things?
Well, we really get them to focus on what will you give for Christmas instead of get, right? Isn't it kind of like the heart of the Father?
Yeah.
For God so loved the world, he got... No, he no. gave. In Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love. God demonstrates love by giving. And we bring that up to our kids instead of focusing, I want this, I want that, I want this, can I get this, can I get this? We keep asking our kids, what will you give? And even to my congregation, Pete and Bob, we ask the question, what will you give Jesus for his birthday this year? I mean, that really kind of puts things in perspective. It's not about the Christmas tree and what's on there. It's about the cross of Calvary and how he gave his life, and it's his birthday. And why are we expecting all these gifts on his birthday, right? Even though the wise men brought gifts, and we should, you know, it's nothing wrong with getting gifts and giving our kids good things. That's godly. But when they are buying into this world system and feeding that desire to have things, and that if I only have these things that somebody else have, or my kids are watching these kids on YouTube all the time, that where they just revealing toys that they have, and they're playing with these toys, and it makes kids want to have those toys. You know, it's crazy. And so we get them to focus on giving rather than what they're going to get.
Yeah, Charles Spurgeon said, rest assured, my dear hearers, it's harder to know to be full than it is know how to be hungry. And then he also said to curb desire, and you struck at the root of half your sorrow. So he was basically saying that if we curb our desire for things, that would help us to learn contentment. He said the true commitment or contentment is absolutely essential to happiness. And so from my perspective, the way I teach my kids or how we live our life is we want to live a simple life. We're not looking for Porsches, actually. I mean, we're saying, you know, does my Toyota or my Hyundai Tucson, you know, do the job? And so I'm looking at my cash flow. I'm looking at is what I'm buying for food. I'm looking at the material things that I might need or that I want, and I'm looking at it from God's eyes and saying, is this going to bring God glory? And is this something that is needed and that is best? And so I really surrender this to God and ask the Lord, Lord, what is it that you would want me to do with my money? What is the very best that I can do? And in living a simple life or having a lack of desire for those things kind of helps. I always ask the question to people. I says, well, what do you think about most? Are you thinking about the new house? Are you thinking about the new clothes? Like, if you got $5,000 today, what would you do with that $5,000? You know, and some people are like, well, I'll pay bills or whatever. But there's, you know, would you think about going on vacation, or would you think about doing these things? And it's not that those are wrong in itself if they're done in the light of Christ. And it's not a impulse buy. It's not a something that you just do to do, but you're doing it in the fellowship of the Spirit of God. You're doing it when you're walking in his light, and there's peace that comes from that. And so it's something that we just really have to be in tune. And I think it goes back to, you know, searching inside of us. It really goes back to, are we resting in God, and are we walking in fellowship with him where we have peace with that, and that we don't have desires or expectations, and that when we are faced with what things are to buy, is it done in such a way that is it over the top? Is it kind of crazy because we want to look good? Is it because we want to have the very best to show our friends? Or are we doing it in such a way because we just have peace and it doesn't matter what other people think? We're just doing it because we're walking in unison with the Holy Spirit and with what God wants. And so then we go ahead and move forward in that purchase. And it doesn't mean that I couldn't get a Porsche. If I had millions of dollars, and the Lord was going to use that Porsche for whatever purposes, if that's what the Lord was leading in my heart, there would be nothing wrong with that. We're not going to be legalistic about things. It's just we have to look at the context of what is God doing. If I'm living a surrendered life, or I'm living a life that's at peace with the Lord, and the Lord is moving in for a Porsche, I couldn't fit in it anyway, but but if that's what would happen, then we would then move forward with the Porsche, and we would have peace. If I didn't have peace, I wouldn't do it. It's just that simple.
You know, Pete, I think it begins right here, admitting that I struggle with this. Mm-hmm. You know, even Christians, I mean, and I would say especially Christians, and one of my favorite groups is U2, and they wrote a song, of course, You're Thinking About It. I still haven't found what I'm looking for, but here's the lyrics. I have climbed the highest mountains. I have run through the fields only to be with you. I have run, I have crawled, I have scaled these city walls only to be with you, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. But I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I have kissed honey lips, felt the healing in the fingertips. I have burned like fire, this burning desire. I have spoke with tongues of angels. I have held the hand of the devil. I was warm in the night. I was cold as a stone, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I believe in the kingdom come. then all the colors will be bled into one. But yes, I'm still running. You broke the bonds and you loosened the chains, carried the cross of my shame. You know I believe it, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Are we convinced today that what we're looking for can only be found in a relationship with God? Is he enough? I think that's what God was screaming to Paul when Paul was begging him, I got this thorn in my flesh. And by the way, it kind of sucks that he doesn't tell us what it is, right? Mm-hmm. We don't know what it is. We all can relate. We got this thing that is just a burr in our bottom, right? And he's begging God, take this from me. And what was God's answer? My grace, it's in 2 Corinthians 12. He says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient to you, for power is perfected in weakness. Mm-hmm. Boy, we just don't get that. We don't get that God doesn't want us to be comfortable. That God doesn't want us to have everything and we not need him. You know, the whole idea, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. God is jealous. Exodus 20. He says, I'm a jealous God. When we want things more than we want God, that we're willing to wait in line and hours to get that one thing, he's offended. We make him jealous. Because those things that we seek to give us comfort, to give us pleasure, is idols. They become idols in our life, and we believe the lies that these idols will stoop down and serve us and give us these feelings of utopia, of euphoric feelings. And God wants us to seek him and to believe that he is the one that brings ultimate significance, ultimate satisfaction, and ultimate contentment and healing and peace. It's only found in him. And when we think that these other things, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to just say, you know, I love technology and I love my iPhone. I love my MacBook. I love that. And I want the next newest. I want the bigger and better. And I have to constantly die to myself. Isn't that what Matthew 16 says? That if you want to be my follower, you must deny yourself. That's the hard part of contentment, right? Is denying, I want this, you know, and give me, you know, my precious, you know, all that ring, you know, whatever it is, give it to me, because that's what's going to make me happy. And I've got to deny that flesh, and I have to take up the cross and follow him.
I think, again, it goes back to that pain thing that we were talking about to fully understand contentment. And I think it brings Matthew 6:24 to life, where it says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth.
Man, that's good, right?
And when we're going through pain, or we're going through things that are causing us to really, reevaluate our wants, our desires, our purposes, and God is either there or he's not. Either we're going to keep trying to search for the next best job or the next best thing to help us curb our pain. You know, we can go to the bottle, we can go to that, you know, alcohol, we can go to drugs, or we can just go to our knees and just really search and seek God. And I think it's in those times where we start learning contentment. We start learning to rest in the Lord and knowing that he's going to take care of us. And then once we do that, once we get to that point of surrender and we say, God, you're it, I'm going to trust you, that's when we can start learning contentment. That's when we start walking in fellowship with him. That's when we start learning what he desires for that's best for our lives. And so we start spending money. We start desiring things that are of God. We start desiring to go on mission trips. We start desiring to serve at the local, you know, street, you know, homeless ministry. We start desiring to do the things that are God over buying the next greatest Apple iPod. We rather use our money so that God would be glorified. And so back to my Porsche mentality is my Hyundai Tucson is the middle ground. I was thinking about getting a bigger car, and we thought about that. And we were tempted to do that. We drove a lot of bigger, nicer cars. But ultimately, I thought, well, would that money saved be better used for ministry purposes? And so that's why we backed off and we didn't do that. And I know, I think, Bob, you went through that too with your Audi, wanting to get either a bigger or less, but you were thinking, what is the best thing that we can do with our money? And that comes from the Holy Spirit. That comes from having a contentment mindset. That comes when living simply, because we want everything that we do to please the Lord. Any thoughts?
Yeah, it's just really good. You used a couple words there, trust. And I think that's where the contentment comes from. I mean, it's like, do we trust the advertisement? Do we trust our flesh that, you know, we want to just seek treasures and shiny things and gold? And I think God just, in his sense of humor, laughs at us when we chase those things. You know, we're chasing money, the dollar and gold, and he's like, yeah, well, I paved my streets with that stuff. So, there's almost like a sense of humor there. He knows what's best for us, and if we just trust him, you know, and that's what it is. He's a jealous God, but he also knows what's best for us. And when we trust him and really trust him, then we believe that what he's saying is true. Barry, man, you just brought me back to 1987. My first compact disc that I ever bought was Joshua Tree. So, and I'm like, man, you're taking me down memory lane here with that song. That's really cool.
Well, you know, if you have kids, you're asking the question, well, what do I get them for Christmas? Yeah. And you know what we ask them? What do you want? Mm. And I think God doesn't do that. Mm. And it really kind of dawned on me as I heard these godly men that are talking on this podcast. And, you know, what we need to be thinking about is what will build their character and what will make them more Christ-like. Mm. And you're exactly right, Pete. Man, going on a missions trip, paying for our kids to go on a missions trip, or like you said, Bob, giving our kids an experience where they're helping the homeless or helping someone that's less than them, or helping a classmate that maybe the mother is a single mom struggling, working, you know, trying to make ends meet. All those things, you know, that's what I see in God the Father. Is that these things don't matter. These things are not going to make you more like me, but going through a struggle and seeing that I can prove myself faithful to you, or you getting out of your comfort zone to engage a relationship that's messy. Maybe a friend of yours is going through divorce and it's messy. I just don't want to get involved. But the Holy Spirit says to you, you got to get involved. Yeah. Because they are hurting. Mm. They just need somebody. Those things that are eternal.
Yes.
Versus a gift that you know, honestly, my parents would buy me a gift at the grocery store, and before we get home, I'd break it.
Yep.
You know, and that's the way a lot of our kids are. But what can we give them that will last for eternity? Does your kid have a great Bible? Is there any movies that you can buy your kid that would, you know, like Facing the Giants or some of those great movies that are out there, you know, that teaches character and teaches being different versus, you know, being content in relationships? Man, all those things are so much more valuable. And I think that's exactly what Paul was telling us when he said that God told him in his struggle and in his desire how he wanted to get rid of that thrown in the furnace. God says, I'm enough. My grace is sufficient.
Yeah.
And his character in us, and his spirit in us, and the fruit producing of that joy will give us that ultimate commitment and contentment. And I'm reminded again that Paul tells us we can learn that.
Yeah, I mean, there's for those that are walking with the Lord, we can all testify that there's nothing greater than the joy of God. In his presence, his love, his peace, there's nothing in this world can ever compare to it. It is beyond comprehension. And to live our life sold out for him, or live our life in such a way that he is pleased or that he is glorified, there's so much more fulfillment in that than anything that we can buy. And there's no money that can buy it. There's nothing that will satisfy like that, like God's presence. And so it is number one, number two, number three most important things of our life. There's nothing greater. And when we understand that or we get that, that's when we start finding true contentment. That's when we start finding this rest that the Bible keeps telling us about. Augustine said, where your pleasure is, there is your treasure. Where your treasure is, there is your heart. Where your heart is, there is your happiness. And if you really want true happiness, you need to ask yourself, where is your heart? Is it serving the master of materialism? Is it serving the master of success? Is it serving the master of getting ahead and having the latest and the greatest thing? Or is it serving the master, the God of the creator of this universe? Is it serving and resting at him? Is it truly finding that peace, that hope in him? And is it really learning to spend our money and to be content and live simply so that he is glorified? And I think that's ultimately where we're at. And so with that, let's change up. I know there's many of us out there that may be listening to this podcast that maybe that don't know Jesus. Maybe they're searching for him or they want to repent maybe of the sin of, you know, wanting more, and they want to be content. And so they just really want to pray. And so Barry, would you like to just maybe talk to those people out there?
Thank you, P, for giving me that opportunity. You know, when Paul and when Peter and James came to that place at the gate of the temple, and there was a beggar asking for money. Give me this money. I need to eat. And Peter and James said, silver and gold I do not have, but in the name of Jesus, be healed. See, there is a evil inside of every man. And that evil thirst and hungers for pleasure and comfort and self-satisfaction, and it is a ego, it is a pride, it is the things that just are unstoppable in our life that causes addictions. And I realized that in my own life I was addicted to so many things, and until I came to God and said, I realize this, that offends you, and I'm sorry. Admitting that I'm a sinner. See, sin is the worst sickness there is. And sin is evil, right? I mean, really, let's just be honest, right? There's a sin inside of me, and there's a desire inside of me to do what I want rather than what my master and creator wants. And you know what? The Bible says that separates us from God. We can't have a relationship with him. That seems very grim, doesn't it? But that's why God acted. God is the greatest giver, and he wants to build a family, and he wants you and I to be a part of it. And he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, the call is to anyone, whosoever believes in Jesus Christ shall be saved. And he says, but God demonstrated his own love in this, while we were yet sinful, evil, separated, sinful before God, he sent his son to die for us. The Bible says that the wages or the result or the penalty of sin is death. Jesus took our penalty for us. Jesus died on the cross, not because he was a criminal or he did something wrong, but he died for our sins. He died to make things right between us and God. He died to make us righteous. And he, through his blood, helps us to measure up to the standard that God has for everyone who enters into heaven. So I must admit, and then I must believe in Jesus and what he did, that he was died on the cross and he was buried and he rose the third day. And he said these words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way to heaven. You cannot work your way there. You cannot be good enough. You cannot go through a church. You cannot go through your family. You can only go through the person and the price and the penalty that Jesus Christ paid. So what must I do? I must admit, believe, and finally, I must confess Jesus as my Lord. That means you must deny yourself. And you must deny what you and your direction and your sinful self desires, and you must surrender to the leadership and the authority of Jesus Christ. And we do that by prayer. We initiate that by prayer. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man would come in, I'll come in and sup with them, and he'll change you. He'll make you spiritually alive, and you can say no to ungodliness. If you're on this podcast, if you know of anybody that needs to hear this message, share it with them.
Yeah.
On this podcast, right now, you can pray and receive Jesus Christ right here, right now. Would you pray with me? Dear God, I know that you created me. I know that you love me, but there's something missing inside of me. And I believe that's a relationship because I have blown it. I'm sinful. I admit it. I've done things my way and I want to stop. And I can't stop on my own. I need your help. And I believe that's why you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for me, to pay that penalty. He suffered for me on my behalf so that I could be set free. I believe that Jesus died. I believe he was buried. I believe that he rose again the third day and he is alive. And so Jesus, I believe that and I confess that. I confess that Jesus is Lord and that you should reign on the throne of my life. So I invite you into my life to sit on that throne. And I invite you to save me and to be my Lord and Master forever. Help me to live every day for you in Jesus' name. I am so excited to share that with you, and that one person may have prayed that. It changes everything, and it is the first step on the road to contentment.
Yeah, amen. If there's anybody that's there that have more questions and want to know God more, on our website, riotpodcast.co, riotpodcast.co, you can find a section there that has Know God and that can answer maybe more of your questions. And there's also common questions, harder questions, like, you know, if God is such a loving God, you know, why would he kill people, or why would he allow people to kill people? I mean, there's just different types of questions that we have on our website to help walk people through. And the other thing is, we would love to just hear from you. And so if you've given your life to the Lord, there's a part in there that you can answer, and it would send to us and let us know that you gave your life to the Lord. And we would love to reach out to you and get you a Bible and get you some material, and also connect you with the church. Or if you're out there and you're looking for a good church and you're trying to find one, you can find that under our resource page on the website. Or just reach out to us and email us, and we will contact you and find a good church in your area. It's very important that we find a fellowship that's healthy and Bible-believing, so we can just continue to grow and be involved in fellowship. With that said, Bob, any other thoughts on today's podcast?
Yeah, just what a great discussion with you guys, Barry and Pete. The time flies by when we do these, and it's just a really, really good time again today. We had some fun at the beginning, some laughs, some corny jokes, but as we dove into kind of the meat of our conversation today about contentment, man, it's just want to leave people with, you know, look, contentment is found in one place only, and it's found in Jesus. And, you know, we can look Amen. At so many other places that are just bombarding us, but it's all a lie. It's not true. And it's not that there's anything wrong with those things, but they don't bring pure joy. They Yeah. don't bring the joy that that you get from a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I think that's our message that we're trying to share with you today. And then, man, we talked about just some things we can do coming up with the Christmas holiday and working through with our kids. I would just encourage you to look for opportunities. 2020 has been a tough year for so many people. You know, we're blessed. I mean, I know Pete said that, you know, it's been a great year for him. Honestly, it's been a great year for my family. And, you know, I know it's been a struggle for a lot of others. So maybe look for opportunities, look for classmates of your students, look for your neighbors that have maybe been furloughed or laid off because of, you know, the COVID and the shutdowns and all those things. But look for opportunities to make a difference in somebody's life, make, you know, to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Man, we Amen. Get to do that. We get to, you know, it's not a, you know, you have to, it's a get to. And it just reminds me of that story of, of the two boys that go down onto the beach in the morning, and the beach is just covered thousands and thousands of starfish as far as you can see. And one of the little boys just starts picking them up one at a time and throwing them back in the ocean. And his friend says, "What are you doing? You can never make a difference. Look at them all." And he's like, picks one up, throws it in the water, and says, "I made a difference to that one.
Yep.
I made a difference to that one." So that's my challenge for you this week and this month. Just look for opportunities to serve people, to love on people, and maybe make that your Christmas gift to your family.
Ooh, amen.
So I want to close with, Pete had already mentioned our website. Check out our Facebook page. Make sure you like it. Make sure you share it with your friends. It's facebook.com/TheRiot Podcast. And man, we would just love to hear from you. You can make comments in there. Just a great opportunity. Just hey, tell us where you're from. Tell us where you're listening from, just so we can kind of get an idea of who's out there and who's listening. But man, it's been an absolute blessing with you guys today. Barry and Pete, I love you guys. I missed you last week. It was just, it's nice to get back together. And that's all I have.
Yeah, awesome. Love you guys.
Hey, thank you guys. We're praying for you that you would be all that God wants you to be.
Amen.